This presentation was given at the 2017 Oktoberfest Conference at the Orangeburg German Swiss Genealogy Society. Rights to the content of the presentation remain with the speaker.
At this point, I'll open the floor, and anybody that needs to leave, feel free to, but if you want to stick around and ask DNA questions, we'll try to see what we can answer. Okay, we start over here.
I'm not done any of the DNA stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
Where would I start? Which one would you think I should start with?
It depends on what you want to know. The Y DNA will hopefully track your male lineage. Mm-hmm. The mitochondrial DNA is probably the least useful for genealogy. The autosomal DNA will look at all of the
So you can make all three, or one or two. One of the advantages of family tree, and it is the only one that offers all three names. Okay, got it. And it's the only way you can get into the Einsberg District DNA. You have to have your autosomal test or upload it and pay whether you do it there or transfer it from another company.
And I will caution you that they're changing some of the chips that they use to test, and that sometimes means that the transfers aren't working very well. They might test from the same spot as them
Once you've uploaded your DNA to the Orangeburg site, what else is required?
Nothing is required. However, if you want to help you, what we ask.
What would be the point of uploading?
I don't know. A lot of people upload it, and I never hear from them.
It's true.
Because there are over 500 members, I cannot contact everybody and say, please send me your data. So what we need is to have the autosomal test. I would love to have your whole lineage. Because that test looks at all of your life. If you give me the data, I'll need to format it, put it on our password, check the website. You will get password to access the site. It's the Orangeburg German Swiss Genealogy, the family finder page. You will get a password. I will also send you a list of everybody that is in the project that you match, which will help you narrow down all those hundreds of thousands of names. You have no clue who they are. I'll tell you the ones that are in our project. You can then go to our family finder page, which is different than family tree DNA. And about slightly over half of our members have given us treatment. So you can compare your chart to your matches chart. And say, well, if I got it, look at this, I'm sure. Or whatever. Because DNA works best when you have the lineage data.
Now, I've done something called, is it good to have more than one person out of a family?
Absolutely. Your first priority would be to get the oldest generation test. Because with autosomal testing, and I'm speaking mostly about autosomal testing, your parents, say your mother, her mind goes further back quicker. You are So the oldest teach if those older family members while they're still alive
It can make a huge difference. We had one Orangeburg member who had a cluster of Jewish matches that puzzled us because there was no explanation. And he got his uncle, who was 33 years old, and there were tons of these. And he eventually found somebody in his family who said, oh yes, there was, there was a story about Jewish ancestry of family. And they're related to the Albert Einstein you know, it was only a hint. In his generation, one generation back, and it was all over there.
And And the other thing I would stress, if you do the Y DNA test, it's usually enough to have two males who have a common male ancestor test that verifies Y DNA. If you do the autosomal test, then please, whatever, to get every known first cousin, second cousin, aunt, and uncle, the more people you know how you're related to, that you can get tested at the end of our project, the easier it is to work with those questions that we're all trying to answer. Who's that lady in the sixth generation that married Edward Bowen, you know, she was a bonnet, but who's her daddy? The habits, the benefit of having the known relatives is, in my case, my mother's people were larger. Like I got five of my maternal first cousins test. So anytime I match them, and or anytime somebody matches them and me, I can be assured that's on my mother's line. You know, I've just eliminated half of my tree. If it's a second cousin, I'm taking it to a smaller section of the tree. So when I don't know who those other people are, I got less places to look.
I will add though that Margaret and I have talked about this. It's an easier situation than some of you do. Because only her mother is from Orange.
Yeah.
Both of my parents are from Orange. And in fact, they are related. So there is, you get no first split doing this.
Yeah.
It varies with what your particular ancestry looks like. Mm-hmm. There's one segment that I inherited exactly the same thing from my both parents, and it's one little short segment. And you would think, well, but you know, they're not that closely related and everything. But it does make interpreting my results significantly harder than Margaret's.
Yeah. But what we also love is anybody who only has one family from Orangeburg because they left real early. That mess helps the rest of us. You know, if your ancestors took off in 1800 from Alabama or wherever they were going in 1800, and they didn't stay here and intermarry like all of our ancestors did, you know, then we have, you know, if somebody matches you, it's like, well, yeah, that's probably.
But these are precious numbers of our sample.
It's an infinite amount of material to work with. As the co-administrator who does the family finding test, I do try to work with as much of the results as I can. Hopefully I'll have more time now to do that. You know, and probably in the next year or so I'll be presenting more because so I just encourage everybody to get in touch with me, preferably by email. You know, get your lineage information there, and then we can help you at least get started.
We did just change the instructions on the website.
Yeah.
It had said that Margaret would get in touch with you, and
but in fact, I can't.
she can't keep up with that, and a lot of people aren't going to do it any follow up anyway.
Yeah.
So we just reversed it.
Yeah.
Couple questions. Some of the historical groups that are established or are being established as we speak in this area have started on the endeavor of creating a county family tree. The people over in Walterboro, McCollaton has one. The people in St. George have started, doing that same sort of thing. My question is, has there been any thought of taking the data you have and putting it into some sort of Orangeburg or OGCS family tree?
That was suggested to me recently. That's potentially a project that the new board can look at. Just like with the family finder, though, somebody has to be studying it for accuracy. I research all, probably 1,500 families in Orangeburg District. And when I use Ancestry a lot, and I look at the trees a lot, but I take them all with a grain of salt, and I haven't I don't think I've found any tree online that didn't have at least a few mistakes in it, and some we know can go so wild.
Remind me to tell you the case history later on. Now, so when you were looking at what is online out there, you get some very good charts. Are you able to draw natural boundaries? For instance, as I've talked with you, I got a bunch of Dorchester, I got a bunch of orange fir, I got a bunch of bamber.
I think that's where we're getting with this communities thing. Mm-hmm. I think we are on the verge of being able, you know, as an anthropologist, when you take physical anthropology, Margaret has suggested I not use this in presentation to the OGSDS, but we often refer to these as breeding populations. We're trying to be a little more subtle. We try to be more subtle here. But I think we are on the edge of being able to say, here, you know, and they're going to overlap, just like the ones I showed. There's going to be a lot of overlapping. But we know, for example, I know that I built my own tree for all of my families around, actually a set of trees, around Vance, Providence, Wells, Crossroads, Ellery sort of area. Mm-hmm. And in the process, practically anybody from that area that asked me, I could pull them up. Mm-hmm. I can pull up their, if they know their grandparents, I could pretty much draw a lot of their tree just from what I have in there, because it is, while it overlaps with all the people from Branchville, Bowman, or all the people from St. Matthews, it's its own group of Schulers, Suttos, Stanfords, Moorers, Peppers, and I think that's what's starting to show up in the results that Ancestry is getting in these communities. They've got such a big sample now. And that is one of the things that Ancestry has going for it. It has a huge sample. And it takes a huge sample.
And it has the trees.
Right.
Well, you know, but some of them work in place on what people place.
Yeah, I mean, they're accurate usually to the level of this is a descendant of Orangeburg County Moorers. They may not be accurate.
Right.
Which
Moorers?
So, anyway, I think 10 years from now, what we're looking at now is going to seem pretty primitive compared to what we'll be able to say based on the DNA. And remember, you know, while the next generation wasn't here in large numbers and responding to get their Caesar salad dressing, what tends to happen is people get older and they get interested in stuff and they retire and then they really have time to put into it and so forth. So what you do now in getting the DNA samples and getting the documentation and stuff is going to be that much more useful to the next generation and the next generation. I don't get any kids. There are plenty of sure kids and dancer kids and whatever who are going to visit.
But we need a repository that we can count on being there.
That's fair.
Okay? And like I recounted with myfamily.com under the Ancestry, you know, umbrella. That went away. And they gave people like 60 days, 90 days to capture what they wanted to off of online. Well, there was really only one set of software out there that could capture a lot of it. People went with it, but I, you know, went down the tubes.
Well, I'm old fashioned, is what I think. I think publish.
Duke's family research that I did. I have never published, you know, in the sense of cranking out 200 copies or something. But when I reached a point where I knew I'd done all I could for the time being, on my notes, I printed them all out, put them in the Sally archives. And so that's one option to make sure that all the research is involved, you know, so that people don't go back and start over again thinking that Joseph Duke was from Barbados. But have the advantage of the years of fashion, I think that's great.
I think you might have a question. And then if people have your tree posters, when they come and ask, if someone turns up as a genetic match, one of them is a tree. You know, it doesn't. You tell the person who has the tree, you've got some that year, but we don't know.
there can be mistakes in the information people give us for their trees. Depending on how far, if it's fairly close, it becomes obvious that there's an error or something. If it's further back, past about four generations back, to analyze it, you really have to start breaking it down to the level of chromosomes and segments and spreadsheets and all that, which I'm one of those nerds who loves to do that kind of stuff. But most people aren't into that. I've done some work. I'm hoping to do more with, for privacy issues, we don't want to deal with your first and second and third cousins. So many people have privacy issues, we don't go there. So I started looking for matches from fourth cousins on back, which is six and seven generations. And I'm trying to work, as I gradually pull enough of these trees together, we've got some couples, Orangeburg couples, back there that have a slew of descendants, and those we love. I also manage, besides the Orangeburg project, I manage projects with descendants of Deborah Bowen and Hank Sally. That's a perfect example. A colonial couple who had 10 children and probably 150 grandchildren. We have, last count is 50 or 60 descendants. There are probably thousands of descendants. With that information focused from that one couple, all we knew was that Edward Bowen came from Ireland in 1357. Now I know that his mother or somebody very close to him in Ireland was a Donovan. Because of how many of the descendants of that couple kept showing up as Donovan match from Ireland.
So what you're saying then essentially is you get the genetic data from FTDNA for person A who has a tree, and then from FTDNA for person B who has a tree, who doesn't have a tree, but just has the genetic data. And person A with a tree matches person B with no tree, so if that becomes a level, you don't know where the match is.
No.
You know that genetically they have that close relationship.
Yes.
Would you not say something to person A who has the tree because they don't match far back?
Well, if person A has a tree, generally I don't do anything with your DNA. It's a lost cause without your tree.
Okay.
Now, we have people who have been adopted that are not
remembered by their
own. And they don't know who their daddy is.
Right.
There are ways to eventually figure that out. Often, not always. So if you don't know your tree for a valid reason, we'll help you. But I have to rely on y'all to give me the data. And then, generally what I'm trying to do more of, particularly for people who don't know how this works, is I can scan your list of matches and find one or two of them that have charts, then I'll suggest, okay, look here, it's your fourth generation, you have Bowen Bonnet couple, and then this person's fifth generation, they have the same Bowen Bonnet couple. You, based on that, you would be second cousins once removed.
So you're looking at the trees or the genetics.
Right. Well, you start with the trees. Ideally, you want to find two or three more people that descend from that same couple, and then you want to see if you actually all have the same chromosome set. That's the gold standard. But that requires a lot of people to be in the in the project. But one thing you can just start the DNA on that I have just with my personal matches been able to help people with is sometimes when I've seen somebody who has matches set of overlapping matches that are all in common with each other, so we know this is going to common ancestor, and they don't have a tree posted, and sometimes I just email them and say, you may not be aware of, or you may, that you have ancestry in the blah blah family. It looks very much like that on my matches with you. And I'd love it if you do have information, you can share it. But if you don't, I'll help you out. I figured a lot of people helped me when I got started.
Mm-hmm.
And in two cases doing that, I have been able to give people a whole host of their genealogy that they would have had almost no way of figuring out otherwise. Because doing this all these years and everything, I knew who the matches were, when, and that they were in the Orangeburg group because, and that they were all Duke's descendants. Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I was in a position to help somebody a lot without taking more than like 2 minutes of my own time.
Right.
And I've looked at enough of the project matches. Orangeburg is interesting because their family clusters, like Lynn's referred to, that intermarry over in Banks. There's family clusters that intermarry in the Forks area. There's family clusters that intermarry in St. Matthews. I've seen enough of the names of the matches that sometimes I can say, okay, this person's DNA test comes in, I look at who their matches are. They got a sister over there at St. Matthews, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing on a very small, unscientific basis what Ancestry's trying to do with the community. So, you know, I'm married. You know, I want to look at Orangeburg District, but I didn't need all of the lineage data because if you can match on more than one ancestral couple, and that's complicated, and you have to know that, otherwise you're getting inaccurate.
How do we know if somebody is successful transferred their data, not the lineage data, but the genetic data from FTDNA to Orangeburg? Because we did that a while back, but there's no tree, so we don't know if it actually got to.
There's no tree, there should be a list of matches. I mean, all I get when somebody joins an Orangeburg district project is your name shows up on the list of projects. This is an optional thing, but as an administrator, I have it. Send me an email when somebody joins, so I know exactly how many times Pam joined and left to do that video. Because every time she joined or leave, I got another email.
And
that's where ideally, if it didn't take so much time, I would be contacting. I get those emails too, and initially I try to contact everybody so the email came in, but sometimes it's 3 or 4 a day. When it started, I was getting emails from anybody in the project got any results.
You can't do that now.
You can't do that now. Not with over 400 members, 500, not over 500. But you know, the whole DNA study started at an Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me, I did a talk on DNA, and somebody said, why don't you start an Orangeburg group? Wasn't there anybody actually joined?
Yeah.
Well, I did, and then you and I had to say, well, let's add the family
finder
to it.
Yeah, why?
Thank
you, guys.
Round and answer any more questions. One on one.
Just a kind of DNA.